Here's where we are. The what I tried to argue in the last share was that you could end up making the question of whether there are circumstances under which you can legally self-harm independent of the question of which way we paskin in the machloket, Adam Rashai or Eino Rashai, Lachvol Ba'atzmo. We could do this in two ways.
Can you repeat the
question of whether a person can licitly self-harm, right, can be made independent of the question of which way you paskin in the machloket, Adam Rashai or Eino Rashai, Lachvol Ba'atzmo.
Then that doesn't that mean self-harm? I don't think we're...
So I said, so two ways. Two ways that you can do this. One way is by claiming that even the person who holds Ein Adam Rashai is making a statement of wrongness and not a statement of utterness. Right? And so therefore everyone agrees that there's no Isser. The only question is whether there is a moral stain attached to you or an ethical stain or whatever language you want to use for that. And the second thing I suggested is that maybe the whole machloket is only about what degree of tzorech you need. Right? The person who holds Ein Adam Rashai believes that you need some kind of higher level tzorech, and the person who holds Rashai thinks that any tzorech is sufficient. Right? And that I argued on the basis of Tosfos. Right? And Tosfos claims that the whole purpose of quoting the Braita has to be to prove that there's an Isser of Chavol Lezorech, right? So that seemed to get me there. So with that, I guess I could just skip the whole question of which way we paskin, except that some of you may intuitively feel that that's asking a little too much. Right? There is such a machloket, you know, in prima facie, most people would think that the machloket Adam Rashai or Never Rashai Lachol Batmo relates importantly to the question.
We aren't necessarily sold on your point.
That's right. No. There's always, you know, there's always the risk you haven't been entirely convinced. So, I want to address that question, the question not only of how you, and also, we have to address the question not only of what the sugyot mean, but also of how we paskin. Right? Because it's not only enough to say, it's fine to say abstractly to claim, since I have now argued on the basis of the sugyot, that the machloket, right, is irrelevant to this question. Now, who cares which way we paskin? But the truth is, the way we paskin, we don't just paskin like one manda amar in the machloket, we paskin like a particular understanding of one manda amar in the machloket. So if it turns out that the Shulchan Aruch paskins Ein Adam Rashai, and that he understands Ein Adam Rashai as it's absolutely usher no matter what, so the Shulchan Aruch is not just paskin like one side of the machloket, he's also paskining like an interpretation of the sugya. Right, so you have your own debates about whether, right, if I convinced you that the sugya actually meant that and the Shulchan Aruch paskins against that, do you decide, okay, well, the Shulchan Aruch's wrong, let's go home, or do you decide, well, I'm wrong, so let's go, right, let's go home. Those are both legitimate possibilities. So for all those reasons, I don't think that I can actually skip the question of the halacha. And as I said at the end of last year, I do not particularly have an interest in paskining that there is no prohibition of self-harm. Quite the contrary. But what I'm just trying to do is show that the position that, as opposed to starting with a default setting that is always usur, and then you have to fight to carve out the space in which it might be mutter, it's possible to set up a proposition in which the default setting is that you can do whatever you want, and you have to carve out the Isser. Right, it's a question of shifting the burden of proof. Right, so the purpose of the last two shurim was to demonstrate the possibility that you could shift the burden of proof, that you could demonstrate that actually, you know what, no, it's not so clear. Not so clear anybody ever held its Isser. So now we can start on, at least on a level playing ground. Is it Isser or is it not Isser? And under what circumstances is it Isser? Okay, that's what I wanted to get. So we're not going to... However, just because for limitations of time, we're not going to have a chance to do really in-depth the question of which way we paskin and why. When it comes time to writing tshuvot, if you believe that that is, in the end, the central question, So then I would encourage you to do the 17 pages of Rilchum Fishel Perlo inside in depth as much as you can, because I think it is far and away the best and most comprehensive discussion of the question. If you've gone through him in depth and you have it in your head, then pretty much nobody has anything left to say about the subject. I think it's way better than anything else. But I'm not going to spend, but it would take us to do it right, to actually look up everything he quotes and debate whether his writers are sufficient. That would be a summary in and of itself. So I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, though, that if you decide that that is the central issue, the best way to do that, la'anias dati, is to take that essay, chart it with rigor, and you'll know a whole lot. Also, you'll have a tremendous amount of fun. You can look at little bits of it today. I don't have it all in my head either. But you can look at it, and you can see that all the sources we've cited are treated, and they're all treated in a variety of ways, all of which are ingenious. And at the end of it, you won't necessarily agree with him, but you will have, I think, seen just about everything you need to see, and have had brought up just about every mode of every approach that you need to have brought up, and you can decide for yourself which you find convincing, which you don't. Okay, so we're going to start. Right, we're going to start doing it in a much more basic way, and then whatever we have time to do with him, we'll have time. We start with the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam says, "Asur l'adam lachbol bein ba'asmo v'mechaveru." And that, of course, raises the question: right, is the Rambam making it, right, simply trying to convey the law in the most efficient possible fashion, or is the Rambam seeking to make a conceptual point? Right, this is the brisker question in all texts, and particularly in the Rambam. Right, does one assume that statements like this in the Rambam are intended to create conceptual equivalence if you're a conceptual person, or if you're a person, I guess we call it an ideological person, then does he mean to say that it comes from the same pasuk? Which may or may not be the same thing as saying it comes from the same concept. Okay, so I think, the most limited position, the minimalist position, is when the Rambam says, Bein batno bein chavero, he means, guess what, they're both usher. And that's all. Right, the maximalist position is, the Rambam says, there is absolutely no difference between injuring yourself and injuring somebody else. Okay, and you can decide where you locate yourself on those poles and what your default setting is. Whether your default setting is that the Rambam always makes conceptual statements and he would never create an equivalence like that literarily if he didn't mean it conceptually, or if you think that the Rambam always functions purely pedagogically and no conceptual significance or lumdish significance can be attached whatsoever to any statement like that. Okay, both of those are, I think, plausible modes of reading the Rambam. Okay, so now it says, V'loch chavel bilvad, Ela koha makeh adam kasher b'Yisrael, ben katan ben gadol, ben ish ben isha. Okay, so then the Rambam expands the prohibition from chavala, which translate simply as a womb that draws blood, although whether that in fact is the boundary between chavala and haka'ah is not subject, right, is not our subject at all. Although, again, somebody wants to look up the difference between chavala and haka'ah and see whether the boundary is drawing blood or permanence or damage to an organ or something like that. I suspect that the answer to that can be found in the Encyclopedia of Talmudit. Yes, sir. I haven't gotten to Derech Nitzayon yet. Okay, right. First of all, there's a distinction between Chavala and Haka'ah. Okay, that's issue number one. Okay, and Chavala and Haka'ah, right, now Chavala applies bin Matmol den Chaviro. Haka'ah applies to Kol Adam Kasher Yisrael. Now, if you want to be hyper-literal, you can discuss the question of whether striking yourself is included in Adam Kasher Yisrael or not.
Right. Strike yourself, you're clearly not
kasher. Right. So you have the fun setting up the most fun way is the paradox. It's the claim that since it's usher to strike Adam Kasher, therefore once you strike yourself, and then we get to the whole question of time, right, of
you're not Adam Kasher. No,
therefore
you
become
not kasher
after you
eat. Right. That's the whole question. Is there a delay, right?
The only question is, can you
meet
yourself a second time?
Yes. This is, my first introduction to genuine skepticism about Brisker Lundus was when in a shir in YU we spent more than a month on the question of the meaning of Gitov Yado Ba'im Kachat, which is the the problem that the one of the ways in which an Eved can become free is by Shtar Shichra, is by accepting a writ of manumission. In order for the Eved to become free, he has to acquire the writ of manumission, but he can't acquire the writ of manumission until he's free. So it shouldn't be possible to free an Eved through a writ of manumission. So the answer is Gitovia do Baim Kachat, that his writ and his acquisition capacity to acquire occur simultaneously, which is great, except one of them has to occur before the other. So in this year we ended up, after a month or so, more than a month of debating and share, we decided that we had solved the problem, at least the Rebbe decided to solve the problem, because it was just another case of simultaneous consecutivity. Or I forget. I don't think it was consecutive simultaneity. We haven't actually accomplished anything if that's what we've done at the end of the month. That was my first real skepticism about the Dera. Pardon?
Is it better than the base that was assumption that Halakha doesn't believe in time? That's what he gets
at the end of this one. I don't know. The explanation is that simultaneous consecutivity is when two things happen one after another at the same time. which you can do, if you assume that, the perspective halacha is that of an observer who is traveling at the speed of light. Right, then you can accomplish it, but it wasn't clear to me you would accomplish very much. right, so here you have,
it depends on whether you view space-time as gumpy or choppy.
Ali Moda, yes.
when he emphasizes on Avkashar, I don't think he means in conjuring distinction with someone who violates one chait, but in conjuring distinction with someone who has a din of mitzvah tovah chaladam.
Someone has a din of mitzvah tov b'chol adam.
Right.
I mean,
if anyone's allowed to kill them, then clearly you're not over by killing them.
That's a lot of weight to put on the phrase adam kasher.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The first thing you would think is like osam
ha'amkar. Yeah, there's a between people who are rishayim.
No, but it can't. The pasuk he proves. Sorry.
No, I mean, I would imagine it's probably more in a case of in between, where it's not like one person who's committed just one chait and therefore, they're a sinner. It's probably someone who's more accustomed to that.
Maybe. So we have these immediate categories called Rasha, right? And what Dave is going to say is that the Pasuk.
Yeah, the Pasuk is
the Rasha. The Yayim Bid HaKot HaRasha, right? So, right? And then once you have already whipped him, so he's no longer Rasha, then the Yosif LaHakoto. Okay, right? So that's what we have, right? That's the boundary. So that's a Rasha who has in fact only committed one sin, once, and been convicted. But it's hard to say that when the Rambam says Adam Kasher, he means anybody who hasn't been convicted.
No, I think that would be to exclude someone who's even a worse Rasha than the Rasha the Pasuk is talking about, like somebody who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, who we're allowed to go and kill.
So you're reducing to Remarin Velomalin. That seems too far to say Adam Kasher, means everybody except for people whom you can kill?
Yeah.
Well, how does the Rambam usually use Adam Kasher? Usually Adam Kasher in the Rambam is a good man, moral understanding.
Maybe it's just trying to rule out giving
Malkot. I don't. You can have minutes. Adam Kasher as opposed to somebody who has already been the Shliach Malkot. Last I heard, though, there's somebody other than the Shliach Beit Din hits the person who's Mechayev Malkot. They're still Chayev too. So it's very hard to figure out exactly what the boundary is. I leave it as a.
Nice moral works.
It does. It's just not.
Adam Kasher Kolim Al Kulam.
I mean, because don't we also need something that includes, for example,
a rodent? Yeah, so David says it excludes only a rodent, basically.
Yeah, anyone who you have a right halakhically to kill is excluded.
If stopping him requires killing him,
then they have a right to kill him.
Right.
Right.
If stopping him doesn't require killing him, then you're not allowed to kill him.
No, but then you're allowed to hit him if you did that.
Not allowed.
Right, but
that was very careful. Not allowed. I have no idea what it means.
It's also B'nai Shemayim, right? If I meet B'nai Shemayim, but not B'nai Adam for killing him unnecessarily. But there's a class.
I think he's more extreme than that.
Yeah, but there's a class of people you're supposed to push at the pit to not bring out, or not take out again. Right? David points out the extreme heretics, who seem to exist at least as a theoretical category. in the Gemara. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that, you know, I think that, again, that, you know, we can have lots of fun spending time trying to figure out exactly what Dam Kasher means. I don't know what it is. We also have the question of whether the Rambam has a different standard for Chavala and Maket. Right? We ask the standard in one way, right? One way that includes yourself. The other person, maybe, you know, Asur L'adam L'chavol Bein Batol Bein B'chaviro. And not only that, but Maket is, right, anyone's Maket Adam Kasher, maybe a Chavala is Asur, whether or not he's Adam Kasher.
Then why would it say below Chavil Bilvad? Doesn't it imply that this Makeh has the same din as Chavil?
Could be. But why does it say Asur L'adam L'chavol Bein Batmo Bein Adam Kasher Mi'Israel?
I mean, the Adam Kasher Mi'Israel is like a whole other rhetorical tool. It's not just...
Okay.
But that could well be that is only going on, Adam Kasher, the qualifier is only going on Makeh, because I think Derek Mitzayon also is only qualifying Makeh and not qualifying.
Good. So now we get to the, right... So having gotten, right, the whole purpose of setting this up is to ask, right, because we're not actually interested so much in the Adam Kasher, what we're interested in is the Derech Nitzayon. And so the same question is Derech Nitzayon only a qualifier on Makeh, or is Derech Nitzayon a qualifier on Chavala as well? And, right, that raises the question, and if Derech Nitzayon is a qualifier on Chavala as well, is it a qualifier on Atzmo as well as it is on Achirim? Okay, right. That's the broad literary question we have to ask. And again, it relates to the original question because, right, when the Rambam subordinates Makeh to Chavala, does he mean to say that they are part of the same conceptual scheme, right? Or is it just happens that this is a useful way of setting up a hierarchy, even though from a technical conceptual perspective, there's no connection whatsoever, right? Because we could say that, you know, Chavala is a violation of, you know, it's something like death, on the same that Malkos is the Makomita, and Haka'ah is an extreme version of lack of Kavod. Right, right, I could make that argument, right, if I wish to, that, you know, that actually, right, everything above Chavala and up is drawing blood, and Haka'ah and down is violating Kavod, and they really have no conceptual connection whatsoever. Okay. Now then we get into the question, right? The Rambam says that anybody who, right, the local veil body will call it Makeh Dam Yisrael Ben Katan Ben Gadol Ben Ish Ben Isha Derech Nitzayon, Hareze Over Velo Taseh. Such a person violates a Lo Taseh. Okay, that leaves aside the question of whether there is some standard of prohibition other than that. Doesn't tell us. Shne'amar Lo Yosif L'Hakotel. That's pretty straightforward in the Gemara that, you know, once you've given the once you've given the 39 lashes, you're not allowed to keep on hitting him. In his yirat Torah, shol hasif b'haka'at hachotei, kal v'chomer l'makeh et hatzadik. So now we have to try and figure out how that line relates to Adam Kasher. Right? Because the Azara is haka'at chotei. Now if you tell me that once he's gotten his lashes, he's no longer a chotei, so then there's no kal v'chomer. Right, so the pasuk tells you that there's an isur b'haka'at achotei. The Rambam says the isur is haka'at adam kasher. Right, you can figure out for yourself what the proper balance is between someone who has once chotei but have already gotten their malchus such that they had their kapara, and adam kasher.
But he says kavachomer.
Yes, so but according to his previous line, there's no kavachomer because it's not after he hit a chotei.
After hitting 39 times, he is adam kasher.
Right, so then what's the kavachomer?
No, after waiting 39 times,
he's not a chotei anymore.
He's a
dam kasher. No, I'm there. She mida asar l'hakoto makat arba'im, right? Makat arba'im, as v'hu adayin chotei, mizeh kal v'chom l'adam kasher, im l'achar makat salametet, who kvar adam kasher, v'en kal v'chomer, v'o toha l'acha, asur l'akot adam kasher. כן, אבל אפשר לדבר על האדם
שנמצא
בסיטואציה שהוא היה חוטא. זה היה חוטא. כן, והיא אמרה לך להוסיף עליו עוד מכה, ואז... כן, כן. אני חושב שיכול להיות. יכול להיות, אבל אני מכיר שיש כמה למדנים כאן שלא
עולים פה. אני לא יודע ככה. Who hasn't violated a law at some point in their life? Really, if you're going to say that anyone who does one lav in his Chayav Malkus once is adding the category of Avam Kasher, lo shavik in his Chayav.
Yeah, I'm fine. That's why I tend to think that Ron's Balabatish Kalvachomer is fine, but that opens up the possibility of reading all the others Balabatishly too. Like, once you allow the Ron to be Balabatish, this is one of these, there's little depth charges here set up. If you take that position, there's all sorts of implications. If you can make Balabatish Kalvachomer, he can have a ball about their structures also. All right. No fun being heretical with the heretic. Yes, Eddie. Excellent. Right. The Rambam does not only cites one makor. So the question is there inside at the end any separate source of Kabbalah?
It's all the same answer.
Could be. So then, so why does the Rambam even begin? Why does the Rambam just say, Kol HaMakeh Adam Kasher B'Yisrael, Ben Katan, Ben Gadol, Ben Ish Ben Isha, Derech Ben Tzion, Arizeh Over Blot Tatsay? Who needs the Lachbol?
Well, that's the Lashon that comes up in the Gemara.
Okay, so we can say Baal Latish again. The Rambam begins by quoting the Gemara, and then he explains, but the Gemara just used in imprecise language really what the Gemara meant to say was.
No, but he needs to say it because there are two dinim, because Derech Mitzayon is only a qualifier of Makeh.
Good, so where's the Makor for Kabbalah? Why doesn't he quote a Pasuk? That's Adi's question. There's no Makor.
It's the same. It's the same with two manifestations.
It's the same answer with two manifestations.
And different dinim.
Yeah.
I think your point.
Well, I think the Rambam is...
Someone actually suggested that to Moshe. I didn't the same time, actually. But he liked it. Moshe didn't.
Okay, so there's a... I think the Rambam is a puzzle in a bunch of ways. I don't know that there's any clear way out of any of these...
Can we bring in the
Rambam
as a
Kush
Berwis and make it even more of a puzzle?
No. All right. Now... Well, right, we also don't have a standard for what Hakka'ah is, right? Is it us to walk over and clap somebody on the back?
Well, he does.
No.
I
think that's
Daska
with Derech
Nitzayon
is coming.
Okay, so Derech Nitzayon is a standard that... Right, now we have to figure out, is Nitzayon an intent standard? Right, in which case there's no real reason it shouldn't apply to Chavala as well.
No, but he does define Hakka'ah.
Yeah. Right. So how does that define Hakka'ah?
It's not exactly lifting your arm on it, but it's the same.
It's more than.
Yes, yeah, a bit.
But and what's the and is there an Isser lifting your arm from Hakka'ah?
If you put it right afterwards, then it seems to imply. Yeah. Even to go that far is up.
Uh-huh. But he doesn't say Zohar Belotase. Right, it's hard to claim that Nisur of Lahakoto.
No, he doesn't claim that, but he does give some type of standard.
I don't know, he actually gives you no standard. He tells you that everything is Usur.
Well, that's a standard.
But he doesn't tell you everything is Usur, everything is over Belotase. Do you get Malkos for lifting your hands?
No, that's...
But now he's constructed three different levels. Chavallah, Hakka'ah, and Hagvat Yad. Right? Now Hagvat Yad makes you a Rasha, which would make it perfectly mutter to hate you. Okay. So do we really think the Rambam thinks you get Malkos because you walk over to somebody and slap them on the back?
If they didn't want
it, yeah.
If they didn't want it. Okay, that's a... Okay, so Derek Nisayon. But Derek Nisayon, the question is Derek Nisayon an outcome standard or an intent standard?
Oh.
Right, everybody understand the question? Right?
No.
I can walk over... Well, okay, let's start with...
Wait one second.
Let's start with this. How do you... Tell... How do you... Wait one second. How do you define... How do you translate Nisayon?
Like the E in a similar machine.
Okay, how do you translate it?
Fighting.
So it's only in a way of fighting.
Yeah.
So in fact, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether the what the result is. It just matters whether you were doing it in the course of fighting.
Yeah.
So if all right, so if I right, so if I get in a fight with somebody and I go like this and my knuckles just graze their nose,
mm-hmm.
I get malta.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Good. But if I right, but if I walk over to someone you know, in a friendly fashion and go, "Hey, how you doing?" right, and put them in the hospital for a week, that's perfectly mutter.
Certainly
other than the Zika issue.
Yeah, right.
Okay, good. That's a reasonable position. All right, Jonathan, what did you want to say?
The only problem is if you want the round to work with more in Sanhedrin, which may be, you know, I don't know, right? The fact that we can call something Shigdas Lav when it wasn't, right, where it's not an intent standard, right? He's doing it l'refua. And yet, if he goes too far, we call that Shigdas Lav or even Shigdas Kanek. Right? If you think, and if you assume that it's qualified by Derech Nisayon only in intent and not result, right, then the Gemara makes zero sense. It's not a Shigdas anything. Unless you make the Shigdas Kabbalah and Makkah. But if you read it, and then you say that by Kabbalah, right, we don't care. We care about results, and by Hakao we care only about intent, and then that's the distinction you're making.
Sure, so you can make that.
Okay, that's fair. You can do that. Fine, go ahead.
You can. You can certainly make that distinction. Okay, Izzy, what do you want to say?
There's ways to be chovel that's not with maka anyways. I mean, that's just basically what you said in terms of like surgery, right? You cut somebody open. That's not maka. That's not therapy time, but. That's still definitely a way of being fulfilled. So I'm not sure you necessarily can get a compliant nothing in a hard, fast way.
Okay.
You have to define maka.
But it's not maka. If I come over to you with a chainsaw, it's not maka.
if I come over to you while you're sleeping and I cut you open with a scissors, I'll be that's maka.
Mutter.
So go along with my, the movie, you know, I came up with the idea years ago of Oedipus Rex, Gera Maliki, in which he discovered that it was mutter to sleep with his mother and a mitzvah to kill his father. right. Oedipus Rex, Gera Maliki. Right, the motto, Kol Omer Oedipus Chatzai Nevel Atoa. Mr. Carmi actually wrote the play. So now we have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which what happens? The Amalekite and his mother both convert?
No, only he converts. Right? It's only Drabbanan. It's not only Drabbanan, but we're in a Tanakh time. No Drabbanan. And it's a mitzvah to kill his father. His father is still Amalekite.
Assuming that's only Drabbanan.
To sleep with his mother, sure.
Yeah, it's only Drabbanan.
Okay. So I'm holding my toast, though, sure. Footnote in the play. And I just, write Pastor Carmi and make sure that he included that. That's the Greek chorus is the Rambam. I'll work on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Right,
yeah. So I don't want to say the opposite of Jonathan. Then maybe the entire point of Derech Nisayon is L'Apuke before.
Okay. So now you want to say Derech Nisayon, you will have to translate Nisayon differently than Talde. Let's start with the translation.
Those are the last two Shittos. The first two Shittos say Mutter. The Rambam is passing like the first Shittos in the Gemara. Even the end is not saying that it's us, they're just saying you might go further and call that Shigdas.
Let's not get tangled with that, because I think we can get out of that Gemara in a number of ways. Just because It's shigigo, right? You can just be concerned that people have, right, that people might have a machshava for the moment, that is.
Of nitsayon? Like,
I want to be evil, like, go to Israel, arm lock.
One of my favorite words always is the Tetzker on the Akedah. The terrifying Tetzker on the Akedah, right? Rashi says, Al Tishrach Echal Anar Ve'al Tas Lo Numa, means that B.K. Shavram is saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, can't I at least mount him? So the Tetzker says that, like, everybody has their worst Yetzer Hara, and the moment when you have, when you think you're using your Yetzer Hara, Ve'yetzer Hatov, that's when it's the most powerful thing. So people have it, you know, even doctors, you know, once in a while a doctor is going to have this sudden, hey, I get to cut people open thing, you know. it doesn't bother me so much.
And you call that shkaga?
Yeah. I didn't mean to do it.
It's
overcome. It's not like you have anything.
You don't know. We just don't know. People have mixed motives. I'm not so into this. It doesn't strike me as a rigorous halachic term there. It really doesn't. But, okay. Okay. Fine. Tell me, what's your definition?
My definition is that it's not... the only definition is that it's lafuke refua.
Lafuke refua and nothing else.
And nothing else.
Okay. So the Rambam does believe in negative theology. But... I don't know. It's creative, right? As well as... this is a creative definition as far as we can tell. Nobody else said it. We know where it comes from, right? It comes from the pasuk of Ki Yinatzu on Hashem. We don't, right? Which is a fight. The problem is that fighting by itself doesn't seem to be sufficient because of an easy case, right? Which is really what Yehudia's case is coming along. What happens if the other person doesn't even know you're doing it? So is it there anything to say on if the other person isn't aware? Right? It seems to legitimate one-sided attack specifically. Right? So. Right, so somebody's going to the opposite extreme and saying, well, we know it excludes one thing, right, the diet, right?
Or you could say that it also excludes similar things, whatever.
Now that's dangerous. Once you do that, now we've done, right, now we've opened Pandora's box again.
But the thing is, though, I mean, the Gemara does the same thing. I mean, the Gemara says that refuah is permissible. But I mean, where does, you know, is there anything other than refuah that's also permissible?
I don't know. No, that's what. Well, we could have. The Rambam could have, if he was just being faithful to the Gemara. He could have said, "Amakeh Adam l'Torah chutz min refuah," or "Amakeh Adam kasher min Yisrael ben ish ben isha ben gadol ben katan," right? Chayav im right. Aval amakeh l'refuah mutar. He doesn't. He comes up with a new definition, derech nitzayon, and that new definition right opens up right all sorts of space, which we don't, you know, which we have. Right, we can try and define nitzayon really literally, and that runs into the chainsaw problem, or we can define nitzayon really minimally, but that runs into a language problem. Right, what's the Rambam doing? Is right, he had much easier ways of saying that if all he wanted to do.
Well, I think the question meaning what compelled the Gemara to say that refuah is mutter, and I think that the Rambam is contriving a source for that.
Good, so he is. But once he contrived it, right, it's not clear he could do that. This is a general problem. I recommend this, you know, think about this before you write Shuvot. It's one of the, this to me, the Mashal Velech always is the Warren Court. Right, the Warren Court reached the right conclusion, let's say, right, Naniach, right, I'm going to suggest this. The Warren Court reached the right conclusion in almost every case. But it was sloppy in constructing its reasoning so that it opened up avenues, right, in order to get to the right conclusion in a specific case, it often came with formulations that were tremendously dangerous and overbroad. Right, and so you can accept my constitutional analysis or not, but you understand what the problem is. So I'm moda, perfectly. The Rambam was just trying to explain the Gemara, but in order to do that, he had to come with a formulation. That formulation can end up, you know, let's say, in the evisceration of federalism. Right. So if you don't care about federalism, fine. But okay, Roy, what do you want to say?
Well, I want to say that I think that you can say that the Shua is really the ultimate, not Nitzayon.
Yeah.
Right, and then you can read, you have a very, I think that it's actually perfectly logical to read the Nitzayon saying, you know, anything that we're not sure is in favor of the person can be construed as derech Nitzayon.
Aha, but now you've done two things. A, you've come up with a new definition of Nitzayon, which is against
Litan is fighting, quarrelsome. Anything that's not done, anything that's not done clearly for the sake of that person, can we consider that as some sort of a quarrel, some sort of a, you know?
We're you know, a lot of people, you know, not in favor of, right? Suppose, let's say.
But if you're not with me, you're against me.
I am punching you in the nose because, you know, Roy, life is tough. Yes, exactly right. That's why, you know, your father didn't name you Sue. So you don't have, you guys don't know this, it's an old Johnny Cash song, a boy named Sue.
I was not a...
I did it for your good.
Maybe Derek Nicholson is anything you don't have explicit permission for.
So we have two moves here, right? The two moves are a definition and then a shift of the burden of proof. Really, you're doing two separate things, right? One is you're defining Nitzayon as without permission. Right? Defining Nitzayon as against desire, and then you're saying that we have a bias against constructing desire when it hasn't been explicit. Okay, it's an interesting definition. You know, the words Nitzayon don't say that to me by themselves.
What are the words Nitzayon?
Yes. So where the Tayon might be, you know, might be the realm left us to work out, right? Often formulations legislatively are just there. You know what? I can't draw the boundaries right now. Here's a word that seems to me to capture it. And leave it to other people.
Masar
Haram Lam Poskim. Exactly right. Thank you. Question now? Yes.
Yeah, just shifting slightly. So I don't know if we're done with the Tayon question. If the Rambam is holding a katan liable for being over a lotasa?
No. If you hit a katan, not a katan.
Hit
is the,
a katan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The katan gadol is the victim, not the perpetrator.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Adi
and
Elliot.
I want to try to lefaresh et nisayon derech hapasuk shehu mevi lo yosif leakoto.
כן.
שזה הבית דין, הרי 39 מכות זה בסדר, והמכה 40, גם אם זה... And that's because what you did to my mother, כאילו, זה כבר נחשב משם לדרך ניסיון בעצם, לפי הרמב״ם. כלומר, אני חושבת שהכוונה היא שכשהאדם מגדיר את האחר כרשע.
אהה.
כלומר, כדרך ניסיון שאני חושב שהאחר הוא רשע. וכשבעצם זה לא נכון, והוא אדם כשר מישראל.
Aha, that is very interesting. Right, so because obviously, you would not raise your hand against somebody unless he was a rasha. So by the magbia yad, I am calling him a rasha. And nitzayon is the, it's a very, very, it is very, very modern philosophic, right? It's being magdir ha'acher. Right, that is the sir. Okay, so let me ask. So I will ask that. So you have to clarify that the derech nitzayon means to hit somebody else on the presumption that they deserve it. Alright, that's fair? Alright, so it involves the kind of, right, since you know that it's a sort of an Adam Kasher, if you're hitting him, you are establishing him as a not Adam Kasher. And so it's to be, right, it is an Isur of being Chovel Biksherim. Okay, so that's good. Elliot, I'd like to call you first.
In the secret that's due with Haka, most of the Sugat that's on the Gemara, that was Chovel, including the
Sugat
and Hedges. Sugat that has to do with Haka, do any of them mention the term Derech Nisayon?
So far as I know, the term Derech Nisayon is a creation of the Rambam.
Because it says maybe it says from there.
Yeah, it would be nice. No, so far as I know, the Rambam made it up. Okay, so now the question that... Yes, Jonathan.
Going back, so I just find that it's only Lafuke Refua. And why would the Rambam need to come up with this when he can just easily just say another...
That's what I said, you know. That's what I said. So tell me there's already going to move it to say Refua and other things like it. But once you have other things like it, that's why I'm saying you haven't accomplished
so much. What more is he trying to explain to that?
I don't know.
I mean, he doesn't need to explain anything. He just says Refua, the Gersh, the Kazam, and everything like it.
Well, how do we know that Refua is the Gersh, the Kazam?
The Rapo, Yerapa, Mikancha, Nitna, Roshos, the Rofa, the Rapo. Stuff, hey, Baba Kamo.
Yeah, but it's not in the context of Kavod, though, is it?
Not in the context of Kavod, the context of Hakko. We have Makeh Adam, Makeh Bema, right? We have the Drashas and the Gemara that are explicit.
Well, meaning who says that Rasha applies even in a situation where you have to be Kovel?
So what Gemara is he trying to explain then?
The one that says that you're allowed to be Kovel someone for a Fuwa.
Yeah, I think he's trying to explain Hesher.
I don't understand. There's a Rishus L'Rov for the Rappos. You assume it's only when there's no Hakav, but Ki was there? Like, what case would that be?
Why not? I got it.
Only that case? It doesn't sound that way.
No.
It's like an answer.
No.
And then like the rest of the Rishonim, okay?
But no, it might be that he needs a pasuk specifically. You know, who needs a heter to, right, to do good things for people? It's only because, right, so the pasuk only comes to tell me, even in cases where it might otherwise be us, there is mutter.
Exactly. So why do I need Rav Nitzanah?
That's
exactly my point.
Oh,
that's my.
No,
so
Rav
needs
to formulate. So Rav could have solved by repo yirapei, but I didn't much. The Rav was trying to solve a very simple problem. Why is it mutter to shake hands? Right, there has to be some line. Right, needs to, right, in real life. People come into contact with other people's bodies, and we don't want to ban all physical contact. So there has to be some kind of boundary that distinguishes slapping someone on the back and saying hi from punching someone in the nose, even if you don't draw blood. Right? I think the Rambam is solving a very plush problem. Right? You shake hands, you squeeze. Uh-oh. Not only have I, you know, we went like this. Uh-oh. Right? Okay, makeh, right? All high fives. High fives are hakah, right? Right? You're doing hard, you're trying to, right? They often cause pain, right? So, let's ban high fives. Can't be. Right? Now I need to figure out, right, why high fives are mutter when punching in the nose is usher. All right? Yes, David?
So Rav Zevin had mentioned that there was a gerusa issue on this problem. Do we
yeah.
know what the correct
answer is? Derech bizayon is the alternative.
Do we have evidence for which is correct?
I don't know which is correct, but everyone quotes me so as far as I can tell.
The fine cat that got me down.
Well, I mean, a lot of people will quote.
It would be strange to say that it's like Derech Bizayon, because that would mean that not Derech Bizayon is okay.
Yes.
Yes. I assume that you checked Franklin, right? I assume that maybe I'm wrong. I assume that's the correct year.
Right,
because Nisayon comes... John
said
Nisayon.
It was
Nisayon.
Okay,
that's
the most.
People
quote
Bizayon.
Yeah.
They do maybe the same thing anyway.
Well,
Bizayon
is such a limiting term. Especially, you know, you have to change the definition of it anyway. And Nisayon has a root in the pasuk, and Bizayon does not. So I'm happy to go with Nisayon as the standard.
Not in the pasuk,
unless someone, this is true. You're welcome to make the argument the other way if you can bring evidence.
Lo, is only in the.
And the issue is v'nikla chichla v'necha, so you can claim that the issue is v'nikla, and that gets you derech bizayon.
No, but derech bizayon is not found in lo yosif lakoto, it's only brought in
makot. Yeah, no, the question is, but if you want to source bizayon of the pasuk, it says because it's v'nikla achicha. Right, that it is an issue of bizayon.
No, I'm pressing you.
Right, that's David's question. I assume Nisayon is the correct text, but I'm welcome to, you know, you're welcome to take an alternative. I'm also happy to be, you know, take the agnostic perspective and say, quote both, and create a topic. The issue is that either way, I think that the purpose of the standard is, right, is to legitimate high five. And that's why I need the term broader than
Rufo. What's the conceptual definition? So high fives are mutter, so what else is mutter in that category?
That's a really interesting question, right? You know, like to me, you know, certainly the easiest test case is boxing. Boxing. All right, martial arts. All right, but fair contests. Now, maybe it is Derech Bizayon, you know, on the other hand, it's not Derech Bizayon, for sure. I just use those terms. Right. So boxing. You can claim, you know, is one kind of thing. What about hockey? Football.
Even boxing, you
can say
it's all sport.
Yeah. So boxing, you can say it's all sport, but the intent in boxing is to hurt the other person. So
they both agree.
But in football, you're just trying to keep the other person in the game as a quarterback.
The minute they both agree to box,
that's assuming Mechila works.
Sure.
So I don't know. I think that this is, you know, if the Rambam created this category, I think that, you know, I don't think you can blame the Rambam and say that the only issue is refuah because of the high five problem. So everyone is going to need some kind of definition. Right. The question only is whether you want to start from the realm of term and work linguistically, or you want to, you know, right, you want to start by intuitively setting out, well, I know this has to be mutter, and I know this has to be mutter, right, and see how many things you know, and then come with a formulation that fudges the difference, that fudges the gray area, right? That's a reasonable way of working. Okay, yes, you did.
I mean, I think the word nitsayon is probably the best word you can come up with to fudge the gray area.
Could absolutely be. Yes, sir.
But then, according to your definition of deaf nitsayon,
yeah,
it's not, it's only coming to quality, it's an intent standard, it's only coming to, only qualitative statement on haka and nothing on kalabah.
I'm not there. You guys wanted to suggest that because you, right, because Jonathan wanted to say that to fit the learners on entrance.
No, but according to what your definition.
I didn't want to say that. You wanted to say that to defend against my point. My proof from Sanhedrin is
no,
that it's a happy result.
Then. According to your definition, it's meant to allow high fives and such. Then if I...
No, it might also be intended to allow boxing. It might be intended to allow, contests between boys in which you punch each other in the arm until one of you says the pain is too great.
But that's not
Kabbalah.
That's
not
Kabbalah.
I've
got knife right.
That's one problem.
So
Nitzayon, according to that definition, most likely
doesn't qualify Kabbalah because Kabbalah is Osir anyway? Maybe not.
Well, give me an example from your definition, Nitzayon, what Kabbalah would be. Okay.
Sure. I want you to prick your finger so you can sign your name in blood on our, right, on our clubhouse.
You think according to Derech Nitzayon?
If I think Derech Nitzayon applies to Kabbalah, why not?
Because it's not like high-fiving, getting into pigment.
It's not Derech Nitzayon, though. Say, you want to, Kabbalah is not Derech Nitzayon. I want to take your blood because I'm doing scientific research, non-medical scientific research, on hemoglobin absorption. Okay? Or I want to feed my pet vampire.
I have
a plant at home. All right. I don't think it's so hard to go with cases. Right. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Just cited vampire.
I mean, Rav Hunter just comes up with a very simple case, right? Harava, he assumes that you have to come with a formulation of this to defend Harava.
Which
is clearly a case of real. Basically,
sure.
Hard as a case where it could potentially lead to death. So I assume it's pretty hard.
He goes the heter of chinuch as opposed to the heter of refuah. I assume, right, that's...
Well, then we have no clear cluster for that, right? We just know that it's good for your soul based on the cluster can,
Love that.
This is not mine, it's Rebbe Chanan.
Right. Right. I tend to think that there is a...
As you know, my opinion on the Rebbe Chanan in general, so we don't have to...
I tend to think there is a Hester HaKah that is derived from Chinuch. Right? Any positive obligation of Chinuch carries with it a Hester HaKah.
Well, I mean, that's simple reading, Mark, from Yashar Ben
Chavir. Yeah. It's a mitzvah to hit your students.
Right, that means we should all duck right now, right?
But even the Jewish observer, has already held that we should not apply the halacha b'zman hazeh. Even though Rav Dessler does still advocate it. Randomly striking students just to create the proper atmosphere of terror in the classroom. yes.
Maybe we can take הגדרה מדויקת על ידי המושגים של הן ולאו וכל אלה ולהגדיר ניסיון כלאו שהוא כלאו.
Kilav shehu kilav. So nitsayon means without consent. Without consent or over explicit denial.
Question.
Beli hain or afil or le marut shem our love.
Yediah, knowledge of the two sides that he doesn't want it.
Knowledge. So it's striking. With informed dissent, right? The person knows you're going to do it, and he says no, right? Ani amir lecha dash ani achid lahakot lahakotes imat marshal liolo. Rav amir lo az ani aver.
But if dash is a lot of the ad, that's a matter in keeping the kaele,
Okay, so we can create what we call constructed, right? The mikresh shebein adam ragil yomar lo as anachnu chayavim lahaniach sheyesh kan lo. It's Ashikin. That would be a consent standard. It has the same problems as everything else we talked about. Is it the reasonable person, the reasonable person of your age and size and gender, right? What happens if I come from a culture where it is reasonable, right, where this is, I come from a culture where people go like this when they meet each other, and you come from a culture where people go like this. it's a reasonable standard, sure. All right. Now, the question we haven't even gotten to discuss is whether any of these definitions of nitzayon can plausibly apply to yourself. Right? If we say that nitzayon means in the manner of fighting, so how do I strike myself in the manner of fighting? Other than in Dr. Strangelove. is that a strange... Oh, this hand, right? It's like a strange love, the Kissinger character, whatever, it's before Kissinger, is always trying to give the Hitler salute, and his left hand is the good hand, is always pulling his right hand down before it can salute. or whatever, the man with two brains, whatever. I never thought of that. It's a Steve Martin one, I think. Yes?
So that was the real reason why I think it's clear that there is a qualifier only on Hakala, not on Kabbalah, because there's really no way Derech Nitzayon can ever apply to yourself.
And so therefore, Makeh Chavero can't apply to yourself.
Right. So Makeh Be'atzmo is Mother. Chovel Be'atzmo is Mother.
Right. So we can take a reasonable position that Makeh, right? A reasonable reading of the Rambam is that Makeh Atzmo is Mutar, and Chavala Be'atzmo is Asur. In order to say that, you have to say that Chavala Derech Nitzayon is also Asur, and that's a reasonable position to take. Right? You just have to carry through the implications. And you have to just deal with the fact that the Rambam forgot to mention the separate Makarot. Okay, I'm okay dealing with that.
There are no separate Makarot. The Rambam made up the distinction.
Okay, you have to deal with which of those things you are willing to deal with. I could, a Derech Bidayon is easier to justify to yourself. And if I come with a different definition of Derech Nitzayon, if I say Derech Nitzayon means with no positive purpose for you, say, right? So then I can have the same standard for myself also. Right, so it's not right. So it all depends. Right, there are some definitions of nitzayon will work. Right, will work for yourself. I can even take the chinuch example and say, right, you know, that if I do this to myself every hour to keep myself from falling asleep so I can keep learning, that's perfectly mutter. Right, but I can't do it. Right, but I can't do it for no reason at all. Okay, we have the whole issue of what happens if you start reading Foucault. Right, how you deal with the pleasure pain, the pleasure pain axis, and all that. We're not going to go there. Okay. So now we get to the Torah. So the Torah says, "Chavel b'atzmo chol pishei eino rashai," and there seems to be an issue about whether the word "patur" belongs there or not. You can make an issue of that or not.
How
does it
mean if the word "patur" is not there?
Chavel b'atzmo, chol pishei eino rashai, meaning.
What kind of sentence is that?
Yeah, it's a beautiful sentence. It means
that's actually the only way that the line means what you tend to think it means.
Actually, right. That's a beautiful line, right? That way, right, that way it means that even though I have already wounded myself, it doesn't make it much for someone else to do it to me also.
Multiple moments.
Yeah. Right. That to me, I am so happy to take out the word patur. But my suspicion is that, you know, it's just other people who are happy like me. All right, this is a lectio de peculiar case, but the word patur is such a problem that its absence just means somebody got to the text. Right, it doesn't actually mean
it. It could be to himself.
It could be to himself. Yeah, it could. I think this is a suggestion of one of the early acronyms. I think the pre-show says it or something, and then it gets adopted. I think. But it, you know, the same thing happens in Shulchan Aruch on the basis of that. It makes beautiful sense. I just can't. Tell you it's true. All right. Ketav Ramah she'ina halacha. The Ramah wrote that this line is halacha. El ha'adam rashai l'chol b'atzmo. So Ramah is the one who comes up straightforwardly and says, guess what? We don't paskin that way. We paskin as unequivocally as you can. Adam rashai l'chol b'atzmo. No, right? The Torah, at least, as he cites the Ramah, has no qualifications whatsoever on that statement.
On the other hand, the Torah has no qualifications on the other side. Because the Torah doesn't say asur either. Right? The Rambam said asur. The Torah shifts that language. The Torah goes back to quoting the language of the Mishnah against the language of the Rambam. Now, it is possible to argue the Torah does that because he does not believe it is asur. He just thinks it's wrong. Or more to the point, the Torah, right, and this is what the taking out the word patur would really mean, is the point is the Torah believes that the Mishnah says nothing whatsoever about this. The Mishnah has no interest in that. The interest of the Mishnah is only to tell you acherim shechavlu bochayavim. So that's what the Torah says.
And still, there the God tells us apo bishei
nor rashai. That's right, but not asur.
No, it can't be, because why would he give the adjma?
Okay. Fair. That's a good point.
I don't know if that's a big difference between Indo Ashai and Asur.
Okay, well that's the question, right? Whether you think there's such a big difference or not. You can always argue the reason the Torah goes back to the language of the Mishnah is because you didn't see what the point was going. You didn't see what Rambam shifted. Right now, I'm not in any way bringing proofs. If you wish to make the argument, I am opening the space for you to make the argument. I don't have enough of a sense of how. Of whether it is significant for the Torah to go back to the Mishnah against the Rambam, or whether, in fact, that's the default setting of the Torah is to quote the Mishnah, and it's the only moves to the Rambam when necessary. Right? That certainly somebody has room for at least the major paper in that. That's the amount. Because it matters.
At least in this case, he's quoting the Mishnah, and the Rosh formulates it this way. And when he rewrote the Rosh,
yeah,
in the kitchen is Rosh, he also writes it that way. So.
Okay. Then maybe it's perfectly fine for him to ignore the Rambam, linguistically. Okay, the Beit Yosef comes along, and the Beit Yosef says that the Rambam, right, Nira Shita'amo, Midamina Lab the Gemara, Ve'na Damar Shadda Fulbasmo, Ve'atanya, he quotes, right, Umasik El Tanoihi, etc., etc. And he has the line, Umashmale the Harama, Divishum Duchta Let Tilchatek Rabbelazar HaKapar. So how do you guys understand that line?
No way do we pass. According to the Adama, the only Tanakh who supports this idea that Adam Inu Aselach Bobatum is Rabbi Elazar Kapor, and we now have Paskin like Rabbi Elazar Kapor, and we have Machlokes Tanaim.
We never Paskin like him.
I am a commercial parallel who will bring every case in Shas that we do Paskin like him.
Yeah. Isn't that like using a cannon to shoot a flea?
Especially when it's a broken cannon.
Right, why did he just say we never pass like a Lazar Kapper?
Because why would we pass like him here if we don't pass him like him?
Okay, good. So you can claim that, right?
We don't bring another Tana. We don't bring another Tana to support the claim that Adam Akhara will
work.
Sure
we do.
We
bring the right then sure.
Is that just to a name
of
the Tana?
No, because for some reason the Gemara seems compelled to add, I mean, Rabbi Akiva, right? And the Rabbi Akiva and the Breita.
Yeah, but we also have Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, so.
Right, that's the interesting question of the Sugya, is why does the Sugya feel compelled to ask Mantana, right, Mantana the Shalomle, and the Beit Yosef could have just as well said that the Gemara believes that there must be a Rabbanan or a Cholik on a Lazar Kapar, since it doesn't bother asking who the name is. Right, who the name is. I think you're right. Right, that's the kind of argument you have to make, but it's a very strange argument to all of a sudden claim that we never pass him that way. It's a strange argument. The alternative is to take out the Dalit. Right, and Ashbel Ramah, the Shum Duchta, the Leslie Halachic Rosa Bit HaKapar. Somewhere, right, the Ramah must have some kind of Raya that we pass him like Rosa Bit HaKapar. We don't know what it is.
We don't pass it,
right? So we just take out the dalit, right? As opposed to the Ramah had a raya that there is no place we should pass on Lazar Kapar. The Ramah learned from some place that we don't pass on Lazar Kapar here. Right, just take out the first dalit.
Was that normal language in Bishum Duchta?
Umashal Ramah, Bishum Duchta. You have to move it all, right?
Right,
to move it all. Yeah, to move it all. The let the let the Kapar. that's not, because we don't have
But Rishum Duch though, it would mean that in like, in some weary place,
in some place,
which I don't know about.
Mishum Duch,
sorry. Mishum Duch would be even better. Yeah.
Someplace.
Since we don't have an alternative text of the basic essays, we only have one edition, so far as I know, that is cheating.
Right. Wouldn't it make more sense to say, like, in this particular case, it doesn't really come down hard on the side of either Rabbi Elazar Kafar or not on the side of Rabbi Elazar Kafar, so we need to find somewhere else, and if you can't find anywhere where it explicitly supports him, then you can just say, to be sure, no, we never explicitly hold like him.
I know, it's a big claim, you know, it's like that.
It is a big claim, and that's why Perlu goes to count on it, but...
Okay.
I mean, it's not there.
So it was the realm, just possible Kastam Mishnah. Right? So, you know,
the fact is that the Gemara is not satisfied with this Kastam Mishnah.
Yeah.
Rambam can be.
But the notion that identifying a position rather than a kapharos is a kiss of death, right? That's a big fiddish. Now, you can never paskin like anything that he's associated with. Why? What do you do?
There's no problem with him per se, just saying it just so happens that it never comes down hard on his side.
It's like Ramah did the Shum Duch, Ramah implies not that there's no place. The Mashmash for Ramah that there is no place in which the halacha is.
Right.
It's like
Ramah couldn't find any place where we hold like Ramah Zara Kapar, so it must be that we hold against it. You know, that it would make
it's kind of circular.
The phrase Beshem Duch is only used in the negative also. It's never used. It doesn't sound like a positive, right? I did a quick search just in the everything, and I'm like,
cool. Okay.
I can't find anywhere it's in the positive.
Another classic.
Yeah.
Why can't we just say that we don't talk in the Gabriel of the Cup, but just like Halacha Kalaba? We don't talk in the Kabai when.
Except in six cases.
Okay, so we can.
He doesn't say we don't talk
in the Kabai. To make up a Klal Horah that nobody's ever seen. Right?
Couldn't he just be, we don't hold Zarkapar about this particular state of Shum Dufta?
How can the phrase Mashalay did the Shum Dufta let Tilkitsa mean only in this case?
That would be kind of, you need some sort of clause to it.
Well, no, because the statement itself shows up in two
sugyas.
Matana Bishum Dufta. Matana Bishum Dufta. Matana did Bishum Dufta.
Right,
if the Ramah finds an implication that in no place, that in some place the halacha, that he has an implication that in some places the halacha is not like Elizabeth and Kapra. We need an implication for here.
Yes,
we
did.
None of the sugyos that discuss this halacha with the Kapar.
I think that
Pearl knows where it's from, though. In other words, the fact that we occasionally say, or in many places we say, we cite, and according to Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, who says, the Nazir Nikra Kote, ... So the language of the Gemara in a number of places indicates that.
I don't know.
The Gemara seems to cite him as a Das Yaki.
Really? just for the record, here's a Chiddush HaRashba in Yevamos Daf Hey. Mishum Milti the Rav of Parath Oder Rashi, the Chol Heifet Av Esal Kedasach L'Melach Mishum Dufta. I don't know. Okay. I don't think you can read it that way, but but you can overrule me. All right. The Maisa doesn't really have enough gemina here. The Bach quotes an alternative makor for the Ramav. Right? The Bach says that he learns it from the story of Rav Chisda. Right? The Chisda walks into a thorn bush. Now, how do you walk into a thorn bush if it's Asher Lechol Batzvacha?
That wasn't the rock. That was the Ramon himself.
The Ramah comes along and has the clever claim that it's the Yachid Rav Malacha Kirabim, because he thinks that in Shavuot there's an implication that the Ravana are Cholik or Rozer Kapar. Fine, okay, sorry, my fault. So you can look that up and decide if the right that's where David's going. Right, and decide if the Bach is compelling or not based on Shavuot. Right. But all this is academic in the sense of truth, because the Shulchan Aruch has the Ramah. The Ramah tells you why he passes that way. Right? The Ramah tells you he passes that way because of the story of Rechitza. Now, the first question you have to ask you is, and this is a huge question in Psach generally, what is the authority of the Shulchan Aruch based on? If I make the intellectual argument, the authority of the Shulchan Aruch is based on the proposition that the Shulchan Aruch had access to all relevant Shitot. And we trust his judgment based on the existence of all relevant shitot. And I say, but the Shulchan Aruch not being greater than any of the Amoraim say, so we have a general rule, which is Atoa B'dvar Mishnah. Right. There's no halacha at all. Right. And we generally define Atoa B'dvar Mishnah. Right, the Torah of Mishnah vacates the previous Torah. It's not just that you can't overrule him. It's all, right, the previous Torah never existed. And that generally means that the standard usually is if you have access to a piece of evidence that the person greater than you, you can plausibly claim, would have changed his mind had he had access to the same piece of evidence, and then you're entitled to overrule him. So...
regarding the inclusion of the Meiri in
Psach acknowledge a Meiri doesn't affect the Chazanish, because the Chazanish wouldn't have changed his mind anyway.
That's the
Mechulgas
Ramavadi.
Right, but Ramavadi says you can pass like the Meiri over the Shulchan Aruch, but maybe if the Shulchan Aruch had the Meiri, he would have passed
right.
It differently.
Uh-huh, okay.
The Chazanish says the opposite. The Chazanish says the Meiri has no place in the... You can learn it for Lundus, but there's no place in the...
Yeah, I mean, there's a very complex thing about, because the Chazanish does use the Meiri of the Halacha in some places, and there's
okay.
Right, and there's a whole back and forth about this. There's eyewitness stuff, or Tzvi Yehuda has his, not for Tzvi Yehuda, for Tzvi Yehuda, there's a back and forth in tradition. Friend?
Chazanish says anything you hear
quoted
in his name that doesn't appear in print, you shouldn't believe.
But that doesn't appear in print.
Okay.
If you're interested, there's a back and forth between Rav Moshe Bleich and I forget who the other person is in tradition about the Chazanish's use of the Meiri, and then there are separate articles by Dr. Tzvi Yehuda, who was the Talmud of the Chazanish, which he talks about these issues as well. But the Chazanish's position is, I think, it's been shown to be more complicated. And I just point Bichlal, right, that the position of the Meiri is different than other Rishonim, I say frequently, is just based on two errors. One, on the belief that the Meiri comes into the Masoret unknown in the 20th century. The Yeshivish legend I grew up in, right, is the one man with a photographic memory will go into the Vatican Library one day a year and memorizing the Meiri and coming down and writing it out. I know, do you guys grow up on that legend?
I heard that one.
I grew up on that legend. But you can go right, but you can look the Birkei Yosef, right, the Chidah, has a list of all books in print. Yeah, and so he listed, right, the Meiri on various Masechtot already, right, now we're talking in the early 19th century. If you look at the Harvard catalog, you can see the Meiri is among the early Rishonim, on certain Masechtot, among the early Rishonim printed. And the Beit Yosef posted the Meiri on occasion. Right, you run a search on the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch.
The Ramadi principle is wrong because you think the
Beit Yosef
did have the Meiri.
Meiri, we had the head of the Shita. Right, he didn't have the Shita, no, but he had parts of the Meiri, the Ramah had parts of the Meiri. It's quite, the Meiri as a whole never left the Masoret. Many Masechtot were missing. But if you compare the Meiri to the Ritva, right, the Ritva doesn't exist at all. Nobody had the Ritva. Right, the Meiri is much more part of the Masoret than the Ritva is. So it's a historical error based on legends that grow up around the Meiri's position on Christianity, right? It's just simply not true right? And now look what we did. We study the Rive, we bring in the Chiddushei Ha'Ravid under the Kamen of Adazora. Nobody had those, right? Same reason, right? You know, this is Dr. Soloveitchik's whole thesis, right? That Provence gets wiped out by the Tosafists. So nobody copies anything from Provence. The Balamor drops out, and the Ravid drops out. In the same way, right, this is Dr. Soloveitchik's big thesis that we think that the Ravid and the Rambam go together, right? It's like an image, right? The Rambam always existed together with the Hasagas HaRavid, but the truth is, like, the HaRavid get printed together with the Rambam for the first time in, like, the late 18th century or something like that, and no one ever thought the Rambam mattered on the Rambam before then. These are all historical legends that don't seem... Miri is every bit as much a part of the Masoret as the Ritva, and Kal V'Chomer, Ben Kal V'Chomer of the Hashlama, and all these other Rishonim that are just being dug up now. I'm not going to talk about the Sefer Abakim. the Sefer Abakim, which became famous just because of the one line about giving them Aliyah. That was Hankin dug up. The Sefer Abakim is a Rishon, right, who nobody had ever heard of until Lord Hankin went through it and discovered that one place where he talks about Echad Min HaGedolim Shayah Osemin Yam Beveito V'Malei Nashim L'Torah, or something like that. So it became famous, like that's the position. Okay. The truth is that on almost any issue right now, we have access to vastly more than the Beis Yosef did. And if we make this the standard, the Torah of our Mishnah, we can undo every single halacha in the Beis Yosef, because there is fundamentally no important issue on which we don't have access to many, many more Rishonim than the Beis Yosef did, and we can plausibly claim he would have changed his mind. Now you can claim, no, maybe he wouldn't have, because he would only have cared about the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam. Right? And that's really what, now we can talk about whether that, you know, that again is worthy of a study in its own right, as to how often the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins on the basis of two out of three of those. They have to construct their positions often in order to paskin like them.
And oftentimes he paskins like the Rambam against the other two.
Yeah, it takes a lot. That again, needs a study, yes.
And, you know, my position on this, that since he only says that in the Hakdamas of the Beis Yosef.
Doesn't say about the Shulchan Aruch, that's right, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that right. I think I've noticed that.
But here's it.
He's more willing to take a position on his own against the others in the Shulchan Aruch than the Beis Yosef.
But here's a straightforward, the whole question, what the purpose of Shulchan Aruch is Bichlal, right? But here's a much more straightforward case, because here, right, here we know that he had the Ramah, and he doesn't talk to him like the Ramah, but he doesn't talk to him like the Ramah because he can't figure out what the Ramah's Raya is. Right? If the best defense he can muster for the Ramah is, well, the Ramah must have had some, of course, somewhere which told him he never passed like another Kapra. I wouldn't pass him like that either. Right? Which is why he goes so far, right? And, you know, and this is rare, as it, you know, he quotes the Ramah, he knows the Torah is there, he knows the Torah quotes the Ramah, and in Shulchan Aruch, not only is he not passing like it, he doesn't even quote it. Right? That seems to me that's because he can't understand what's going on with the Ramah. Right, he has no makor whatsoever for the Ramah. Dibeshum duchta. Right, the Ramah somewhere. Right, but we know what the Ramah's rationale is because we have the Shita Megaveta, and the Ramah's raya is a perfectly reasonable raya.
I mean, couldn't the Beis Yosef find that raya too?
Now we can try and figure out why didn't he think of the Ramah's raya? Okay, yes.
Knowing the Shulchan Aruch affinity for possibly like the Rambam, I'm inclined to think even if he knew what the Ramah's Raya was, he would still have possibly like the Rambam.
And not even have brought the Ramah as the Yesh Omer?
Maybe he would have brought it as the Yesh Omer, but he wouldn't have brought it as the Kar.
Okay. More room, what about the Ramah? We don't know. We honestly don't know. I don't know how we know. Now, the Raya is a pretty good Raya.
The Yad Ramah is not the
Tosfos. True. Yad Ramah is not the Tosfos.
You think Yad Ramah is a good
Raya? Why don't you think it's a good Raya? It's
my Surah.
What?
It's an agadic passage.
Sometimes
it's
my Surah.
It's pretty authoritative.
It's an agadic passage. Go to Halacha.
That's the serious thing, right? There's other Halachas. There's other Halachas.
Yeah, but the Gemara doesn't... The Gemara seems so accepted anyway. They go on to every other Kabbalah. The Halacha Kabbalah Raya of a... of something that's brought in Kapta of Italia seems to be pretty perfect.
Okay, interesting, I don't know. Sorry, Amarayim, if they weren't really Paskin that way, I don't know, it wouldn't bother me so much. I don't think it's an overwhelming Raya. I mean, we can try, but I think that
even if you, now here's the thing, this is what, you know, that you'll get used to this methodological move by now. To paskin against Rav Chisda is very hard. Because nobody ever told us that we don't paskin like him. To say that Rav Chisda doesn't dispose of the question whether Adam Rashai Lachpol Batmo or not, that's easy. But then we have to figure out, so how do we paskin simultaneously Ein Adam Rashai Lachpol Batmo, and that it's legitimate to take off your clothes to save them when walking through a thorn bush? Let alone... Right.
The heel.
Pardon?
You said it exactly. The heel is not that...
Right, so why? So does that mean that the only isser is things that don't heal?
Not that don't heal, but that aren't cut like that.
I mean, maybe, like, because a thorn cut, it's like we have varying degrees.
I mean,
okay, right, so now we have, right, so that's the point, yeah, right, so...
It's all right,
so we have all sorts of, right. Absolutely, right, that's exactly the point I want to make, right, right. Because you can either say the Rama has a great raya, or you can say no, the Rama has no raya because the question of whether Adam Rashai Lachbol Ba'atzmo, right, that machloket is unrelated to the question of whether you can walk through thorn bushes and thereby cut yourself. Right, everyone agrees it's mutter to walk through thorn bushes and thereby cut yourself. Right, so now we have to ask. Right, so now we have a whole. Right, that's exactly the move I want to make. Right, that's exactly the move I want to make, and I'm perfectly comfortable making that move. Now you can all spend your time thinking about why it's okay to walk through thorn bushes, right? You know, and maybe, you know, the Rama grew up like I did, picking blackberries. You know, and so it's just pusha to him that it has to be okay to walk through thorn bushes. I certainly did. You know, and there's no way to pick blackberries without getting yourself cut. Also, I took care of my rose bush in Somerville. That's not going to happen either. It's, you know, I don't want it to be shaking out lava every time I go prune my rose bush. Right, which it would have to be if you said otherwise. So that's why, again, I want to make that same move, that there has to be a that you can either choose to pass the machloket, but actually it's often, and this is a move the Gemara makes often, is that, right, people set up these broad conceptual boundaries, and the purpose of the sugya is to teach you that in fact it doesn't really matter which way you pass the machloket, because really, and this is true in many, many areas of law, politics, things like that, you can get consensus on many, many issues. And so the machloket is always going to be only about the gray areas, and everyone's going to have to adjust their conceptual position to account for all the areas that are white and black. Every once in a while, somebody takes the ideology too seriously and starts being cholik even on the things that everybody, right, on the things that everybody knows make sense. And, right, and those are the extremists. Right, those are the Tea Party people. Right, and right, those are Tea Party people and the socialists. Right, but most of American politics, right, you have the free market people, and you have the social equality people. But everyone pretty much agrees that there has to be private property, and there has to be some form of government assistance. Right, even though they don't fit ideologically, but that's what everyone knows. That's what it is. Yeah. Right. So you know, every once in a while, right, you get the Rand Paul. Okay, but in halacha, right, if you're a Rosenzweig person, we call them the Araim and the Tosfos Reed.
And the Harach
Hazorah. The people who are so enamored of the formulations that they use the formulations to challenge consensus. But most people take formulations and adjust them to match the things that they know intuitively or they know by consensus are true. Right, so I'm saying that in the same way, right, so I'm willing to say the way most people here work is they know that high fives are mutter. They know that picking blackberries are mutter. Right? Rosh Hashanah Israeli thinks they know that war is mutter also. Right? And this is right. And so a big issue. A big issue is whether you think it's obvious that war is mutter. Some of you may think it's obvious that contact sports are mutter. Right? If you think it's obvious that contact sports are mutter, that will change things also. And now some of you may have that intuition that contact sports are mutter tested at the margins by sports that have high rates of genuine injury. Right? Maybe it'll be tested by sports that have high rates of genuine permanent injury. But the issue there is, you know, is that jogging does too. Right? So you have to figure out what the boundaries are. And you have other ways of getting out of those. You can talk about charm tzayim Hashem, right? As opposed to trying to get out of the Yisr Chavala. That's why I want to keep making this move, is recognizing that there will be opportunities at every stage
to narrow the machloket to such a point that it doesn't affect our basic issue. Yes, David.
I think this story has no relevance on Kabbalah whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because there's no Kabbalah in this story. We're only bringing this story to show that it's possible that someone can care more about their clothes than about their body. But there's no Kabbalah because he's never sinned with God. He's just walking through thorns, isn't he? He's not intending to be Kobel.
It's secretion.
Yeah.
Secretion.
I don't think it's secretion.
Everyone takes it, isn't it?
All right, so we can get it.
It's not a secretion, but he'd rather take
the secretion to Lomichalei. But like,
he can't walk through the thorns.
But like, okay.
And he'd rather. No, it's not a secretion. He'd just rather, just because the clothes are more expensive and they don't heal, he'd rather take the chance of getting wounds on his body than of getting his clothes ripped. But there's no secretion.
Good. Very good.
Every time you walk through a thorn bush, there's Kabbalah.
You can part of the issue here is we can go back to the Morotia type thing, and we can claim that, you know what, there's a big difference between Vaday and Safik, when it comes to the issue of Chavala. At least Chavala Vastacha. That's another way out, that's fine. Now, you have all these ways out if you want, right? But there again, that leaves you lots of room in terms of medicine also. Right, there's always going to be, right, what I want to get is there's always going to be a class of cases that everyone agrees with mutter, even if you paskin in Adam Rashai L'chol Ba'atzmo. And that class of cases is probably sufficiently broad to cover most of what we need in medicine anyway. Right, that's why I'm not spending all my time talking about where we paskin, whom we paskin, like fascinating as that question is. Mashal Tarana Adi's other point that, like, to me the model of Sugya is Yesh Lomidat, where at the end of the sugya, what you learn is that there's that the machloket exists only in some really weird way out case, and at the three blot, the purpose of the whole conversation for 2.5 blot is to tell us that since everybody has to agree with the following 6 brachot in which Yesh Lomidat obviously works, and everybody has to agree with the following 4 brachot in which Yesh Lomidat doesn't work, the maskana is we're only arguing in a case where where you're talking about things that are swept away by the ocean while they want da 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 da, but really everyone agrees that, of course, Yesh Lomidat, in practice, always has to work.
Oh.
We pass him like a bayi in the one theoretical case that we're pushed to the limit.
Because we allow you to
assume that the person knows, and we allow you to assume that the person would have had Yesh had they known, and we allow you to simultaneously, right? The only thing we don't allow you to assume is that I think it's if the person would have known, then they would have, something like that, which is a really odd case. Yes.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, at the way, way back, you know, I think during the first week when we were evaluating the more recent text,
mm-hmm.
We also were making a distinction between internal and external.
Sure.
I feel like we've completely gone away from that, and we're only talking about external things. So does Kabbalah not apply in terms of?
Excellent question. Don't know. Excellent question. And no one's brought it up. What it means to do internal Kabbalah. They didn't have.
If you give someone a concussion, is this a problem?
Right. Excellent question. Well, it's at least hakah, presumably. You have to smite it. But they didn't really have the opportunity that we have now of creating internal injuries without external blows. Right. But we have radiation. Right. So that. Right. That's an interesting question. What about chemical means, things like that? I don't know.
And also, like, the way that we create things these days, it isn't even necessarily like hakah.
Yeah, right, I agree, right? Then you have to define hakah as, somehow physical causation to the other. Right, you have to do that. I don't think we've done the job on that yet. Yes, Rob.
What about poisoning people?
Right, no, I think.
That was something they could do back then.
That's what seafar.
Right, so we can do that.
What if you do it in a rocket away?
I tend to think that
wasn't someone in a mild
like
way
that.
Back then.
But even to poison somebody back then, you had to find a way of introducing it into them. Right? It was a physical thing.
Put that in their food.
So in their food and cause it. So that would be, right, so if you poison somebody, only make them a little bit sick. Right?
Yeah.
If you kill them, so then we have a category of shifu
thumbing. You just want them to get sick so you can take their part in the
You slip
part.
If
yeah,
here.
There you go.
You slip Ipecac into their, into their. Fair question. I don't know, I'm sure it's us, sir.
But I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know how we would necessarily ask for it. I don't know that. I don't know that that hakala is the way to do it. Right? Maybe the master may have to find some other way of. Some other way of.
This is not funny.
Yes. Yeah. You have to do that. I'm fine with that.
Okay, fine. But it's only not. That's only
being that's
only
being
not
opening
anything.
All right. So then, skipping the reason control earlier, maybe we won't have any fun to share at all. But also,
wait,
I think
you're still doing the last two, right?
Right. Last two. Right. All right, because we haven't gotten to this, so we're going to see. We only have 13 minutes left. All right. So the Yamshel Shlomo is pretty straightforward. He says, "Achavil v'asmachol pishayim rashayim mishum bal tashkis." But that's pretty straightforward.
Doesn't make sense.
But
what do you want to say,
if you, even if you assume that, like, okay, fine, that's where it's coming from. How do you learn from that to boshet? Doesn't that make Rabbi Akiva completely nonsensical then? Like,
we did see somebody earlier.
He says that you said nothing because a whole batmo is also because of baltashkid. Therefore, you can't embarrass them. Someone can embarrass themselves, but you can't embarrass them. Are you destroying their reputation or something? Is that, like, maybe it is that. It might very well be that, but it just suddenly seems like you put that in, and now it's like, Rabbi Ki says, Lo Marti Klum, Gavani Lo Marti Klum. Like,
well, I think, you know, that's the, as the Gemara points out by saying, right, what he's really, what Rabbi Ki must be saying, according to the person of Dam Rashai, is that he's making Kal Vachomer, but, I agree with you that assimilating chavol to bal tashkis is really hard to make boshes bal tashkis unless you say there's bal tashkis on dignity.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of
that's sad.
Bal
tashkis is usually kind of
hit. Or I mean, he could just be making a sort of straightforward argument that we see that in general.
I feel like once you went to the length to attach this reason to make it, and you're like, he's really got a reason. Now all of a sudden we're like, oops, this reason doesn't help.
So where did he bring that from? Like, where did
he bring Baltashkis from? Because that's the end of the sugya. The end of the Mishnah is
right.
Amar Sameh Yadi X, right? About Kaseit and Tiotai is why. It makes perfect sense. We just take the sheh out.
What is sheh?
If you remove Hakol Bil Batmo from Rabbi Akiva,
but he doesn't. That's true. But the way he reads it, I feel like he came and just made Rabbi Akiva completely nonsensical, or not completely nonsensical, but like I must be missing something here because
no,
it seems like from this, all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva has not helped himself.
I think
at
Akiva,
all.
Right, the way he's reading it, Rabbi Akiva says that. He says that even what we learn from here is that even in cases where people did things to themselves they're not allowed to do it, you might think that thereby they have pottered you because they already did it.
No, that's not what he's saying though.
Yeah.
He says it's also because of Bal Tashkit. You could just you wouldn't say Bishum Bal Tashkit and to apply it. He's clearly applying the reason.
But he's
even your reason. Even your reason. She did it afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's always a problem, the Marshall. The overall proof is that just because people don't value things about themselves doesn't mean that you can take them away from them.
Why did you need Bal Tashkis for that? Then you just have this general principle.
He's trying to explain to you why Hakol Batmo is up there.
But then he's trying to explain, but he bases that off of that it has to match up with a Kotit and Tiotav, and which would imply that their whole statement has to match up.
I don't know about that.
I don't.
All right, I think the one thing he is telling you clearly is that Hakol Batmo has nothing to do with the Yisro Chavala.
Well,
that's fine. I was just curious about what he was coming to actually do with
Okay. So look at it more in...
I think my point is generally irrelevant to the point you're trying to
make.
I was just curious.
Fine. I agree. You know, I think the Sheh is always going to be Dokek, honestly. I think the Sheh is always going to be Dokek, but the Sheh happened. I think it'd be a lot easier to read the Mishnah the way that Rob originally suggested, right? That it's just two sections of Hakol Bel Batmo starts in a unit is unrelated to Rabbi Akiva.
Okay.
That makes a lot more sense. Yes?
Can we claim the Amorayim were some of our mission and override them?
I tend to think not. This is why people think Petra Livni stuff is dangerous. All right, I hear the Maharsh Dam also for fun. It turns out I've been going crazy. If anybody figure out Hakol Bel Batmo, Afafish and Erashai Patur, The apesha asahu apesha he fears. That was, aside from the fun of moving from Patur to here. All right, that was just fun.
I just had a bit of he's taking his side in the Hagira of Petra, but he's turned in from the reverse Rimigash.
Or the reverse Rimigash.
Petra of the Hagira means that you can, under certain circumstances, be Naman about yourself for bad things. All right, I'll call him Asa and Mother.
I'll be Shane Arshad Patur. A star and tear in between is putter. I don't know what he's.
Yeah,
Maybe there's a pay fell out. She has actually
heaps of tears. His mouth is really upset.
All right, I can see I have been highly corrosive to yourself.
That's fine.
You have to change the
topic. I thought it was just such a fun line to look at. all right, but what matters more for our purposes is the Chavos Yair. Let's see if we can have who want to volunteer to be the person who formulates the contribution of the Chavos Yair? We have two. All right, David, why don't you try this one?
Chavos Yair claims that you have no right to forgive any financial slip the Torah gives you because it's never really just the financial slip for yourself. There's always a transgression against God involved, and so my forgiving of it is irrelevant.
Any financial goods?
Well, he's talking about Hatzak of Gavul and Geneva.
Right. So is the chutz the right word?
Yeah, meaning he's saying don't view these mitzvot as your chutz. It's not the Torah says you have a right not to get stolen. They have an Isser Geneva.
What he does is let's frame. Yeah, however you were going to frame it.
I was just going to say this case that Shelley Israeli, this is what we thought.
Good.
You can't. It's wrong. You can't get together with a group of people and say, well, we don't really care about the Israelis or not.
Absolutely. Right. To me, this is right. It's a direct attack on Rabbi Shelley Israeli's position.
Preemptive.
Yes. All of Eretz. That's right, yeah.
I think you can explain it seems that what the Chavos Yair is getting at is that they seem to be like Shol Yisrael is a consequentialist. At the end of the day, as long as everybody's happy, and that's what these laws are coming to do. Whereas Chavos Yair thinks that there's something inherently wrong, like it's more Kantian. There's something inherently wrong with doing this action.
Okay, so I will be from her, and I will say the question is, are there mitzvot ben adam l'chaviro that are exclusively ben adam l'chaviro or not? Right, so Rav Zevin says that murder specifically is entirely ben adam l'shamayim. Right, Rav Yisraeli comes along and says no, murder at least of Jews is both ben adam l'shamayim and ben adam l'chaviro. Right, of non-Jews, he claims it's only ben adam l'chaviro, and for Jews, he says everything short of murder, and certainly everything financial, is just ben adam l'chaviro. And therefore, he says, since it's just ben adam l'chaviro, move two is any mitzvah ben adam l'chaviro can be rearranged by consent. Okay, now the Chavos Yair can now if I'm talking as a pure lamb, then the Chavos Yair can be cholek on one of these two propositions. He can either be cholik on the claim that there are mitzvot that are purely ben adam l'chaviro, and he can argue that every mitzvah ben adam l'chaviro is also ben adam l'shamayim, even if there is mechil in advance, as opposed to the way I was masbir in Rosh Hashanah Yisraeli. In Rosh Hashanah Yisraeli, I said that every ben adam l'chaviro, having been the violation of them without consent, is also a ben adam l'shamayim because there's an act of merit, because God forbade it.
So mechila afterwards doesn't help for them because the act of doing it without prior consent was a merit l'shamayim. But so right, so you can claim that that the Chavos Yair holds that no, they're all ben adam l'shamayim, and therefore mechila doesn't help. Or you can say that he acknowledges the concept of mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, but he denies as a practical matter that mechila works. I tend to think those break down to the same thing. Right, the reason mechila doesn't work is because there's also a ben adam l'shamayim aspect about it. It doesn't have to be. You can claim that it's just Eitz HaTovah, that God doesn't want you to forgive the ben adam l'chavero because he understands that forgiving one ben adam l'chavero has negative social consequences because eventually it makes it harder for other people not to forgive the same ben adam l'chavero. Okay, this is hold the answer a moment. Right, this actually is worth I think trying to explicate more deeply. The place where this comes up most often for me is when I try to explain Hilchot Negia and Yichud. Okay, so what's wrong with consenting adults? Right, why can't consenting adults be in the same space? You take your chances. So the answer, I think, is as follows. What kind of behavior is insulting to others? And what kind of behavior, right, requires courage? Depends on what the social norm is. If a social norm is that it's okay for men and women to be in, right, for let's say a man and a woman to be in a secluded space together, then to say, I wish to enforce the halakha of yichud on you, is to personally insult. Right, if the standard setting is that men and women are never allowed to be in the same space together, then the request to be in the same space is obviously a request to break boundaries. Therefore, if some people agree among themselves to forgo the Isser of Yichud, that has consequences for everybody else in society. Okay, same with Negiah. Right, this is true of many mitzvot ben adam l'chavero. That your personal forgiveness changes the nature of society for everybody else. If I say in advance that I don't care if you take anything from my store that's worth less than $5, then the other people become skinflints because they ban that. Also things like that. Therefore, it is possible to arrive at the position that mechila is ineffective, not because it is a violation of ben adam l'shamayim, but because hilacho ben adam l'chavero are laws of the chevra. And not of the yachid, right? That, it seems to me, is an eminently reasonable position. If we were to frame it that way, then you can say that the Chavad Yair is cholek, right? Is not cholek on the fundamental claim of Rav Yisraeli, of autonomy, but in that sense, he's not in the sense that he doesn't think that the limitation on autonomy is that God owns your body and you have no rights over your body, but he thinks that the limitation is social responsibility. Okay, so I want to set that out. Right, so you can claim Lumdishli, he's just Cholag Israeli Lagamri, and he holds like Rav Zevin to the extreme. Right, you can claim that he's making a much narrower point. At least parts of his rhetoric are mashma the way I'm setting out the second way, right, and parts of his are mashma the other way, and it's worth exploring. Okay, so now the questions that, David, you were up first.
Yeah, don't we have a studio of Hitna and Masha Kata Batura, which we pass in
We're passing the Matan al-Masha Kasuv B'Torah works for privileges but not Isurim.
Right, so, but the Chavos Yair's case that he's dealing with is in Imamanos.
No, he considers this to be Isurim.
What is the bull?
Is Ribbis Maman or Isur?
What?
Is Ribbis Maman or Isur?
Ribbis is the exception. Ribbis is Isur, but Kadav is Maman.
No, he doesn't have to, right.
It's like a fool. It's also
So that's my claim is he may wish to distinguish and claim that the reason that Ribbis is Usur is not because Ribbis is Isur and Gav is Mammon. The reason that Ribbis is Usur is that once you legitimate the charging of interest in a society, nobody will get interest-free loans.
I should buy that, Spar, but what would he call pure Mammon then? Where you can be Mount El Mashiach Vodara?
Might be inherited, they're not, right? You know, but not in terms of Leva Karabin Hovalti Ben Hashemah, right? But in terms of Pishnayim, right? Might just, you think, that's the whole machloket. What's a classic case of Matna Lasha Kasu Patura? If we agree that the classic case is standards of evidence. Right, the standard of evidence is that I'm the Mosi Mechaver of Araya, but I can be Masna that we shift the burden of proof. So that's okay. That's right. There's no right. So right. There he holds the Torah has no intrinsic interest. It just sets up. Right. You know, I think he would distinguish between. Here's the sharpest distinction. There are things where it matters what the outcome is. There's things that matters what the law is, and if there are places where it matters only that there be law. But it's right. But you can't allow a situation where there is no law. Right. Easy example. Which side of the street you drive on. Right. There has to be a law. Which side of the street you drive on. It doesn't matter which. It's right, the Torah, to help you out, the Torah says drive on the right side of the street. We all agree to drive on the left side of the street, it might be okay.
I don't understand what it means that you can't be both of someone's Gneva. It's called a Matana.
Oh.
But if they stole it first and then...
No, we're assuming it's before the fact. We're not assuming it's after the fact. Before the fact, if I say, you can take anything you want in my house, I'm giving you a gift. The commentary says that's not there?
No, there's a big difference between saying you can take anything from my house and you can steal anything from my house.
No, 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 no,
like,
no, 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 no,
people that all say, we may all say whatever we want from each other's houses.
What?
Remember, this tshuva is referring to a situation where there's a big group of people saying
he thinks a group of ladies who like baking and say we can all share the flour.
Right,
the question
is, what's the difference between a communitarian society and a society where everyone says Gneva is mutter? Right, that's interesting, right?
I don't see the difference.
Right.
But isn't it also different to say I'm giving multiple you permission versus saying I give you permission to do this?
Yes. That's one difference. Secondly, is you still acknowledge the concept of private property. This is mine, but I agree, right? This is mine, but I multiple you if you choose to take it. It's different than
this is
all
of ours. It's mine, but if you want it, I'll give it to you as a gift.
So you might be motivated that if you said it that way, it would work. You know, it might be a linguistic thing. You don't like that. All right, we got a break now. We can take this up. We can take this up next time. Please do be back on time. It's very kind of Dr. Austin to take the time to do this, and we should show up on time for a presentation. All right. You're coming.